Hello, everyone. Some claim that the age of a true gentleman is far behind us, but here at 284 Media, we definitely disagree. He may appear in different guises today, but the values and ideals that make him a gent still stand. Gentlemen, aspiring gentlemen, and of course, our partners that hold us down. I'm Ron Grant. Welcome to a brand new season of The Art of a Distinguished Gentleman, a show poised to help guide modern day men into 21st century distinguished gentlemen. Now, I know the suit might fool you, but don't worry. It doesn't always involve suits and bow ties, but raw, real-life lessons that translate to grounded, community-minded, well-rounded men. Thank you all for taking this fantastic journey with me. Last season, you heard from some of the most talented young professionals across various disciplines. This season is absolutely no different, from East End to West End, Vojvodina to Jas Van Dyke, not forgetting Niigata. We will again be joined by the territory's finest distinguished gentlemen. You've heard many times before that we are the sailing capital of the world, and that is absolutely true. But anyone born and raised in the BVI should know a thing or two about the water. Our guest today is no stranger to sailing, sports fishing, chartering, or the business. He hails from East End, Red Bay East End to be exact. He's cool, calm, and always collected. A young entrepreneur who has taken great risk, wise beyond his years. Ladies and gentlemen, joining me is the homie himself, the one and only, our very best and brightest, Captain Chad Letsum, a true 21st century distinguished gentleman. We talk sailing, the art of pitching, mentorship, fatherhood in the making, and actually, what's that like now? A conversation you don't want to miss. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Let's go. Viewers, welcome back. You're watching The Art of a Distinguished Gentleman. I am so honored and happy to have the homie, the man himself, Captain Letsum. Chad Letsum, welcome to The Art of a Distinguished Gentleman.
Hey. Cheers. Thanks for having
Absolutely.
Me. I appreciate it.
Most definitely. Now, as I mentioned in the intro, you hail from East End. You hail and sail from East End. Red Bay, to be exact. Where the heck is Red Bay?
Where? Good question. Everyone knows where Long Look is. That's kind of the heart of and the history of the BVI starting there. And it's east of Red Bay. From Red Bay, you have east of Red Bay. It's east of Long Look.
Okay.
From Long Look on the right, which is westward, you have Fathals Bay. And they're going towards East End now. Mm-hmm. You have Jubby.
Good.
Jim Young, Red Bay, and then the Song. So Red Bay is kind of where the gas station is.
Got it.
Where the fishing complex is supposed to be, where the fishing dock is.
Awesome.
And it's a fishing village.
Great. Wonderful. Now, for those who may not know, tell us about, as the older people would say, who you are, who you belong.
My father is Ashben Letsum from East End. And my mother is Gail Letsum. She's from Easton as well, but she's originally she's been on here 48 years.
Wow.
Quite a long time. And if you're watching, I love you.
Yeah, that's a good one. Now, when you look at your structure of family and being blessed to have both your parents around to mentor and assist you in whatever way they could while growing up, let's look specifically at male examples. Is there anyone throughout the course of your life or any persons that have stood out and really made an impact in the man that you've become?
Yes, multiple men and women alike have reached out to me and kind of, you know, kept me under their wing, guided me, given me advice, lifted me up when I was down. There's a few specific people I can remember very well. When I was younger, one gentleman from East End in the community gave me a ride home from school one day. And I was just feeling glum and dumb. I hated homework. I was getting bad grades. I just wasn't happy where I was in life. And he gave me a ride and he said he could have sensed I wasn't feeling good. And he kind of said, Chad, no matter what, the wall ain't going to leave you. You on the wall and you spinning with the wall. You always stop in one place and the wall ain't going to leave you. So don't worry. Everything will work out. And those words stuck with me till this day.
Amazing.
And that was just a simple conversation on the way home. I've had other mentors that have guided me in certain skill sets, got me into the technical field.
Yes.
First cousin of mine kept me under his wing, taught me everything he knew in the IT field. And, you know, I guess helped jumpstart my career and where it was going. And that was my first cousin, direct family. And then another member who was not related to me at all helped me and guided me in the same area. So those are just three simple examples, but there's many, many, many more.
How important, now that you are an adult, looking back, how important would you say is that level of mentorship when it comes to the growth and development of our young men?
It has to. And one thing a good mentor told me is, Chad, I'm doing this to you. Just make sure you do this with two other people. Just two, not three, not four. Just make sure you do this with two other people.
Okay.
And if everyone does that, then we'll have everybody covered. And we have to mentor. We have to you might not think you're a mentor, you might not think you're in a position to guide and share, but the fact is you're older than somebody else.
Right.
There's always somebody younger than you. There's always somebody less experienced than you. And if you could just help in any way you can, that's important.
And that alone should be an opportunity for you to be able to share and impart some knowledge.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
Thank you for that nugget. Now, you have been sailing for quite a long time. You're a captain, sports fishing, you're in the charter business. How did you get into being so comfortable on the water?
Yeah, well, my parents are the ones to thank for that. And also the luck of being from a multi-generational fishing family in East and in Red Bay is another lucky thing that got me into the water. And my father has been on the water forever. He's multi-generational fishing. And he taught me my ways. I was two years old with a little engine in my hand going around in circles for hours, loving it.
No. Right?
That's when I started, you know. And ever since I know myself, I've been behind the wheel of a boat. My father would hold me in his hands, give me the wheel, let me go for a guide. By the time I was five and six, I had my own little dinghy. Mm-hmm. I could go island hopping by myself. And that was a level of freedom that doesn't really exist that much.
That's true.
Today.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm really thankful for that. And I built on the water all day, bare back, no shirt, just a swimming trunks on, and my little dinghy. And I out on the water all day long. All the hair on my hands were golden. All the hair on my head were golden because I was in the sun all day long.
And you absolutely love it, Claire.
Absolutely love it. Never gets old.
When we look at, you know, you just said sometimes you spend all day underwater. We love the water. The waters are amazing, but they could be a little bit unkind. Unfortunately, throughout the years, we've lost our lives when it comes to the art of fishing and just local men in general who traverse the waters. From your experience, what are some nuggets of importance that persons who are in that field or looking for it, interested in it, should be aware as it pertains to fishing and sailing in general?
Yeah, well, you always have to take safety into consideration.
Yes.
The weather is something you have to keep a pulse on. Because you can't beat the weather, you can't beat Mother Nature. So always keep a pulse on that. Always tell somebody where you're going, right? Some places call this a float plan.
Okay.
Right? Are you going fishing off the south side of Ojungada today? So if you don't come back in by evening, somebody knows my uncle. I always tell an uncle, a brother, a father, somebody where you're going. So if my engines die on me, if something happens, they know a general area to come look for me. And you always go out with somebody, right? I've had lots of friends and even family go out by themselves, and even had a couple marine incidents where they lost their lives. Mm-hmm. And it was probably something as simple as they didn't have somebody on board to pull back the throttle when they fell overboard or something like that. You always need somebody there. You never know what happens, and that will save your life. So keep safety conscious, have the right equipment, maintain your vessel, and always let people know what you're doing.
Indeed, you heard it directly from the captain himself. Now, Chad, you are new to the world of fatherhood, right? You are blessed to be a girl dad. Tell me about that, Julie. How's that going?
Yeah, it's amazing. This is my first child.
Nice. First of all, congratulations.
Thank you, man. And congratulations to yourself.
Thank you, too.
You have a new king on the way.
Yes, a prince in the making.
That's awesome. Well, it's an amazing feeling. I've always been told most of my life that you just can't explain the feeling of having kids. And that's so correct. I could not have imagined this feeling before. And now you're doing everything for yourself. You're doing it for someone else. You just feel a sense of fulfillment and purpose. And, you know, if I had drive before, I have even more drive now, you know?
Indeed.
And that's something you just can't explain succinctly. And I'm loving it. I'm loving it. My daughter is 3.5, going on 4 months old.
Oh.
Her name is Karenza Bella Letsum.
Karenza.
And her mother, Natasha, is amazing. She went through the labor process like her boss. She's an awesome mother. And our baby's lucky enough to have four of their grandparents.
Amazing.
So both grandmas are spoiling her to the T, and both grandpas are there present there as well, hanging out with her very often. So we couldn't be luckier.
That's what's up. Now, I want to talk to the support mechanism when it comes to fatherhood and being there for the women in our lives. Speak to the young men out there who are perhaps already fathers, hoping and anticipating, or they're expecting. And locally, you know, there's this term, or she breed, or, well, first of all, guys, she's not a cow, so let's get a term breed out of the way, right? But speak to the art of support in a variety of ways from a father perspective, whether you're just a father or in a relationship or you're a husband. that support mechanism for mother and child.
Yeah, it's a must and it's overlooked, right? The black community is disadvantaged in this because our families were broken up during the slavery process, mm-hmm. right? And that still lingers today. So we have to be very conscious and cognizant about being present during the pregnancy, mm-hmm. before the baby even arrives, and being very present afterwards. Because the baby can hear you in the womb. The baby knows your tone of voice. The baby knows daddy long before, months and months before the baby comes out. So it's important to be there in the very beginning. The mother needs your support. She's going to be raising your next king or queen. So you need to be supportive of her. She has to go through a lot. And it's just so amazing what mothers go through, right? It's interesting now to be a man, mm-hmm. and go through the whole process from the very beginning,
very beginning.
To understand it. Right before, when you're growing up and you're looking at your mother, you know she's your everything, but you didn't know what she had to go through before you could start remembering things, you know? So no, understanding that whole other facet is so huge and amazing. And like I had mentioned to you before,
yes.
if I saw a mother out before I had a child, I would acknowledge her, I'd pull out the chair, I'd open a door, you know, I'd be kind to her. But I wouldn't go out of my way to say, you're looking lovely today, you're awesome.
How are you feeling?
How are you feeling? You know, I wouldn't go out of my way to really compliment her and build her. But now I got to do that because I see what she's going through. I know what she's going through. So I have to say thank you, reach out to anyone.
And our viewers, Chad and I share a very special bond because throughout the entire process, we supported each other wholeheartedly. I mean, he introduced me to Lamaze, the process, what it takes. And literally, just like him, I was there front and center. The only thing I had, it was like camera. But that is the beauty of really taking the role and responsibility from beginning throughout. And I wish and employ our young men out there to take it seriously and enjoy the journey. You have had the opportunity to do some really remarkable things, not only locally, but regionally and internationally as well. I must commend you for the level of risk that you have taken and continue to take as it pertains to business and a variety of ventures. Of course, we have to touch on Chip. You have had the opportunity to stand before audiences and pitch and present your ideas. Tell us about Chip, how it's going. And also after that, I want to touch on the art of pitching because it's very important for our young men to understand when creatively sharing ideas and encouraging persons to come on board, that there's an art to pitching. You know, there's an art to the conversation of sharing an idea. How is Chip doing? What are we doing? Where is it at? And tell us about that international exposure.
Yeah, well, some people know I have
a
fintech business called Ching. It's a regional business. And it was something that did not exist here in the Caribbean before we started. So we were, you know, trailblazing in that aspect. And it has a lot to do with pitching in the beginning. When you're trying to get a new idea and a new business off the ground, you have to convince a lot of people that this is something to do, that this is, you have to sell it, number one. But you also have to gain support and gain partnerships, and you really have to sell the idea and pitch the idea. I'm not a salesman, but I understand the concept that you need to get to your facts clearly and succinctly so that someone else can pick up that idea and walk with it or run with it. So branding was really important for us in the beginning. So we focused a lot of time on that to be succinct and clear and communicate a lot within the brand without mm-hmm. saying anything. And that really is around the essence of being concise and clear. That's the art of pitching, is saying as much as you can as few words as possible. You have to get it condensed because remember, someone has to take this information in. If you're just giving them a plethora of information, they can take pieces of that and it might be the wrong pieces, the pieces that you don't necessarily want to focus on. So you have to be as concise as possible and direct as possible. Say what you're saying as shortly and beautifully as you can for someone to pick it up. And that's really the art of pitching that got us going and got us successful to where we are today. And many other things, but that helped a lot.
Now, when you look at the initial stages, and we mentioned earlier about speak to that, because a lot of persons, young persons, find it difficult, and we can understand the apprehension, not only in sharing an idea and not knowing if it's going to be well received, but also taking risk. And those risks might be a variety of things, but speak to our ability to take risk and literally believe in ourselves and see where it goes.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, including myself, want things to be perfect before they really go all in or go full throttle or even start. They want the stars to align before they start, right? And that's just not how it works. You have to take the risk and just do and execute. You have an idea, a great idea, but an idea is worth nothing. You have to build it. You have to execute. You have to do. And you have to overcome this fear in your head about stepping forward and take the risk to step forward that you might feel. If you never took your first step, you'd never walk, right? And imagine if you never did that. How many times did you fall when you took your first step? Many. No baby ever started walking perfectly the first time, right? Yeah. So it's the same concept. You just have to try. You might fail. That's your risk. You're losing stuff. You're losing money. You're losing time. You're wasting effort. But guess what? Ain't wasting, because you're learning from that process. And you're going to do it a different way next time. And it's going to be better and improved. You just have to do it no matter what. Don't let anything come in your way. Don't be waiting for a perfect time, a perfect moment. Just do it now. And the sooner you do it, the sooner you learn, the farther you are ahead. Someone else comes and do it, they have to go through that same process and you'll be ahead. But just do. Don't wait.
Thank you for that level of honesty. Now, when we look at sailing, sports fishing, the charter business for which you are a part, that's your livelihood, and COVID-19, of course, and the pandemic that is, and which we are living through, and all of those challenges. Tell me about, from your seat behind the wheel, what are some of the challenges and how persons within the industry might be able to do their best to navigate the challenges?
Yeah, well, I mean, the major challenge during COVID is lack of customers, right? We're a tourism capital and we have no tourists here. Mm-hmm. So the money's not coming in the door like it was before, and we don't have customers to sell to. So that's huge. That's critical. And the only thing we can do is pivot and focus on ourselves and focus more on the local customers instead of the international customers. Yeah. And that means different marketing. That means different products and services. You have to adjust, alter course, if you will, sailing-wise, to now accommodate for this wind shift. And I think that's the best we can do, is not forget ourselves, cater to the people of the Virgin Islands, and get our economy going locally until we get tourism back. And the other thing, to not be so blind and just focus on what's in the BVI, we have to also look regionally, right? We can't sell something to international tourists coming here. Maybe we can take our product or service to them across seas. And maybe we can have a regional offering to other neighboring islands. So we have to look at that as well, right? I don't want to just focus and say everything, focus on the island. Yeah. Because big business is never only on the island. It's regional, it's international. And we need to be focused at that level.
Got you. Now, hindsight is 2020. You've accomplished quite a bit. You continue to do great things for which we are proud and we congratulate you. What's next? Anything up your sleeves?
Working on a new marine product that Ching is the core behind. Mm-hmm. And this is a tailored platform for the marine sector. And we're focusing on that. That'll be launching. It's technically already operational, but we haven't done a big official launch. Okay. So we're getting poised for that. And that's exciting. We're taking a big risk with this because there's not tourists here. And the marine sector is mainly supported by tourism. So we're building, prepping, modernizing things for the reopening of the BVI and when tourism comes back. So that's a risk, but we've got to take it. Got to take it.
Indeed, taking risk. When you look at the career and the myriad of opportunities that come from fishing, I must admit to you, I always dreamt about being a fisherman. The art of actually being able to fish and come back with a catch and being able to sell that. For persons who might be interested, young men, or who have the opportunity to have been raised in that type of environment, similar to Red Bay, East End, Carrot Bay is another fishing capital mecca in the territory. Young men who are raised and have the opportunity to be brought up in that level of discipline, what do you say to them who might be like, man, that's too much hard work, especially now in these times?
Yeah, well, you have to love it, doing it, right? You know, and you have to be mindful of if you're doing it, you're not just wasting money, because it's easy to waste money fishing, having fun. Mm-hmm. But if you want to make it into a business, you have to be more precise and strategic with it. So I would say, make sure you love it first. Make sure you like it. It's very hard work. You're up long hours, go out early in the morning to catch the fish in the morning. You have to stay out there in the evening till the wind is there by 10 in the evening. And then when you come in, you still have to deal with your catch, cleaning it, storing it, and then selling it. So it's a long hours, a long day, but it's worth it if you really like doing it.
Amazing.
And you're hunting. You're basically hunting on the water, right? There's tact and strategy in that. You have to lure the fish towards you. You have to entice them to come. You have to pick up the tactics and the trades and the skills to make that happen. And then I always tell people you have to have the right things, right? You have to know what to do and you have to know where to go. Those three things, if you put them together, that's when you become a good fisherman.
You spoke earlier about having that level of chivalry, opening the door for, you know, a pregnant woman or woman in general, you know, making sure that she's okay. Where did that level of gentleman-like behavior come from? And what do you say to those who see it perhaps as a weakness?
Yeah, I would say I had a lot of mentors that guided me in towards that.
Okay.
Right? I wouldn't say necessarily learned it from direct family. I wouldn't say I learned it from my friends.
Okay.
But I had a few key mentors in my life that were just gentlemen, right? They're very smooth, well-spoken, always calm and collective, like you've been iterating. And these are things that they did to please others and help others and keep the whole environment around them smooth and nice. Right? So I picked up on that and thought this is good to do, and it's respectful to do, and it's nice. You build good relationships doing this. So, and to say the people who think that's overkill or too much or hating on it, that's your cup of tea, big man. You do what you want, right? I just wouldn't be disrespecting. I'd be humble and polite most of the time, unless you mess with me.
And that essentially at the end of the day is encompassing of the gentleman and who he possesses and who he becomes. When you think of passing on the mantle of leadership, not only in sailing, but in treating others and how to be treated, I want to touch on the fact that you're a girl dad again.
Mm-hmm.
Not only do our young men need to know how to treat young women and people in general, but our young women need to know how to be treated. What are some of the lessons that you look forward to imparting to your daughter as it pertains to how to be treated, what to look
for? Yeah, well, the earliest and quickest way she learns that is how I treat her mother by example, right? So I have to treat her mother nice. I have to show my daughter what it's like to be loved by showing love to her mother. And that's the simplest way to put it. And that if you just do that and that only, I think that would suffice.
Okay.
But beyond that, I guess I don't want to say sit her down and teach her, because I don't know how it necessarily go, but I have to show her and highlight examples, not just in our immediate family, but in examples as I see it with other family members, other friends, other community members, what's good, what's bad. And, you know, everyone needs to be taught what's wrong from right. I think my parents did a great job with me on that. So they just have to make examples out of things and pass small judgments to give her the gist on what's left from right.
Indeed. And leading essentially by example.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't want my daughter to be treated badly, but based on your previous point, I always respect, because what goes around comes around. I don't want her to have nobody disrespect my daughter or her mother or anybody in my family. So if you're nice, yeah, hopefully that comes back to you.
Indeed. Chad Letsum, the one and only captain. Thank you so much for taking the time out. It's always great chatting with you. You need to be great. Continue to inspire. Continue to keep doing the damn thing, dude. I mean, you've been doing it, and we congratulate you on that. I'm so proud of you.
Thanks, viewers, man. Thanks for having me on the show.
You're most welcome.
I'm humble and honored to be here.
The gentleman himself, Chad Letsum. Viewers, that's all the time we have. Stick with us.